Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we discover what real joy looks like in the exciting book of Philippians. Let's go ahead and hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, each and every one of you, to today's episode in Everyday Truth. And we are still in the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 3. We've been moving, John, a little bit more slowly. We're only in verse 3. Today, we're going to try to cover verses 4 through 7. It's really one topic. So I think it might be good if we just read the verses. So let me just have you read them if I can, John, verses 4 through 7. Listeners, if you'll just listen in on these verses.
Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ.
So this is all in the context, my friends, of where we ended the podcast last episode, where he said, we have no those that are of the circumcision, that worship God, that rejoice in Christ Jesus, those that have been genuinely saved have no confidence in the flesh. They realize salvation wasn't my effort. It wasn't my reward. Salvation is of Christ. So then he enters into this point of argumentation, which is typical of the Apostle Paul. He forms this polemic to argue, to say, okay, let's assume for a moment that this is a measure up game, a who can do more, who's better at keeping the law, which we know is not possible for anybody. So talk about how the Apostle Paul is using reasoning here.
Yeah, Paul does that, as many of you know, Paul does that more than once in his epistles, where people are trying to show why people should listen to them because they have all these credentials. And Paul says, okay, if you want to go down that road, then let's just talk about that a little bit. Let me tell you what I was before I trusted in Christ. I mean, if anybody had credentials, we would have to say the Apostle Paul had them. I'm sure there was nobody that was coming to try to lead the Philippian believers away that had more prestigious credentials what the Apostle Paul had. And so Paul says, if you want to argue that, then just think along these lines.
Right. And so basically, hey, I did a better job at this than you did. They're telling the people that are now saved at Philippi to somehow trade in their liberty for what you're offering. I did a better job at this than the false teachers did. And all the good job I did, I look back at that and say, that is worthless. It's refuse. It's a total loss. I chalk it all up as a loss for what I have found in Jesus Christ. So let's break that down then, John. So what are the ways by which people have confidence in their flesh? They don't look to the Lord, they look to themselves. And what is it about ourselves sometimes that captures the imagination and causes us to misplace our trust not in ourselves, not in Christ?
We see in Paul here, he's going to bring out some of these ideas. One he talks about is his heritage. Nothing, he had no control over this. And even today, people often have no control over who their family is, how they came into this world. But people sometimes are very arrogant about their family history.
Right, or their church pedigree, and you find that in verse 5, where he says, "I'm circumcised the eighth day," as if he had a choice about being born a Jew, or I'm of the stock of Israel, I'm of the tribe of Benjamin, I'm in Hebrew of the Hebrews. These were not choices he made. You don't choose what nationality you are as a baby. You don't choose what race you are. He didn't choose to be a Jew. He was just born into a Jewish family. But think about each one of these. These are areas in which other Jews were placing great confidence. We're better than other people because look at how we were born.
You know, Paul did not proselytize into Judaism. Paul was born. And that's, he's bringing that out. You know, I was circumcised the eighth day. From the very beginning of my life, you know, I was there doing what God said the people of God were to do. Now, obviously, his parents are doing that. But today, sometimes people use that argument to say, you know, I was born in church.
That's right.
I went to church. I've never missed a day since I was, you know, five days old.
That's right. That's right. I didn't come. I wasn't Johnny come lately. My grandma donated that pew. And then I'm in Hebrew of the Hebrews. There was a temptation back in those days among the diaspora, the Jews that had scattered, to assimilate into the respective culture and to almost disesteem one's Judaism because it caused you to stand out in a, and let me downplay this. Hey, Paul said, hey, we never downplayed it. I'm a Jew and I'm proud of it. It's almost like those people that came to John the Baptist in Luke 4, I believe, where John the Baptist said, don't think that you have some special favor with God when you say we are Abraham's seed. You know, God can raise up, you know, these rocks unto himself. He didn't need, there's nothing special about your pedigree. And yet sometimes that's the place in which people find confidence in the flesh. Now, it's almost like that racial division that's occurring in our country. You know, some people so wrongly say, well, I'm better because I'm white, or I'm better because I'm black, or I'm better because things that we had nothing to do with. Away with all of those racial and these stereotypes, these distinctions.
The human nature is to always find a way that I'm better than somebody else because of the pride of the human heart. And, you know, people often try to do that. And Paul's going to show us all that is to be done away with. That has no place in the Christian walk.
So sometimes we find our confidence in the flesh through just how we were born, what our identity is that we had nothing to do with. But then the Bible says, as touching the law, a Pharisee. So Paul went to school and learned to be a Pharisee, a strict adherent to the law of God, studying under Gamaliel. I mean, here's a man that took adherence to the law to the next level.
You know, the Pharisees, they tried to be pure in what they, in how they served God, and they tried to keep the law. The problem was it became a whole man-made system where they were so afraid of breaking a law of God, they made a fence farther out that was to protect that law from God. And so they had all of these burdens they put upon people, and they were so difficult, they had also loopholes built in they could get around keeping some of the laws.
Right. So what ended up happening is the burden was upon the people who were not aware of the loopholes. So they had all of these Bible laws under which they would have these daughter laws and all of these weird applications. And as you said, then creating loopholes for themselves. And Paul, he was a system player. He got it. He said, I was better at it than anybody. And yet there's no confidence there. So sometimes people have confidence in who they are, how they were born. Sometimes people have confidence in what they do, you know, a separated one. That's what Pharisee means. And then verse 6, concerning zeal. So here's yet even another category. Sometimes people find their confidence in how they were born or how fastidious they are about keeping the law as the Pharisee. But then the Apostle Paul said, concerning zeal. My passion, my desire to, concerning zeal, I was persecuting the church. No, nobody was more zealous than I.
I think of in Jesus, in John chapter 2, whenever Jesus cleansed the temple, and later on, the disciples remembered how the Old Testament, the Psalms, talked about the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Well, that is how Paul would have looked at himself. Paul would have viewed himself as being one who was after trying to do Psalm, you know, in the Psalms, it talked about the zeal of thine house. Paul thought he was serving God, thought he was out there, and he was very zealous, and he was consumed with trying to keep the purity of what he thought were Old Testament laws and the way to salvation.
Absolutely. And, Yeah, there's nothing wrong with zeal. Would to God that we believers had more zeal. I think the writer there, Jesus himself, said through John to the church at Laodicea, be zealous, therefore, and repent. So, but the Apostle Paul was quick to point out in Romans 10 that there is a possibility to have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And that was Paul. Paul didn't know the way of salvation, didn't know Jesus Christ. And so his zeal actually was a detriment. And yet he was having confidence in the fact, hey, this is how I was born. These are the laws I'm keeping. This is how zealous I am for God, finding his confidence in all of these things. And then finally, there in verse 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Boy, nobody could point his finger at me and say that I was anything less than a model of law keeping.
You know, Paul really would have been a hero for many people that viewed themselves as Orthodox Jews who wanted to keep the Old Testament law and try to please God through that way. Often today we have, you know, a Pharisee has a bad connotation, but in Paul's day, people would have looked up to Paul because of what he was doing. I mean, Paul, by all man's measurements in the Jewish society of his day, Paul would have been somebody that parents would have said to their children, look at that, look at that, look at Saul. Saul is a great man. You need to be like him someday. I mean, he really was. Now, he was radicalized in what he was doing. So he was more radical than some of the Jews were, but he really was a person who was trying to fulfill what he thought was the way to God.
Absolutely. So, and categorically then, I had the best start, best pedigree. I am the most careful to observe. I've got the most passion. I have the best reputation. I mean, if anybody could measure up, it was the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul's testimony about all of those areas in which others were having confidence was this: what things were gained to me. Oh, that made me look good. It gave me a position. I had great favor with the high priest. As a young man, I was climbing the proverbial ladder. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. You know, I realized that all of those things meant absolutely nothing.
When Paul met Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 9, it radically changed his life. And Paul was the kind of man before he trusted in Christ that Christians were afraid of, because he was trying to hunt them down to kill them, take them into jail. But it shows us the grace of God, that God's salvation, God, the gospel of Jesus Christ is powerful, and it can convert even that person that we think is our worst enemy. And here Paul trusts in Christ, and because he does realize then what he says right here, that all of those human accomplishments meant nothing at all when he finally understood the gospel of Jesus Christ and its simplicity.
So what are we saying, my friends? Are we saying then that, you know, zeal and works don't matter? Not at all. What the Apostle Paul is saying here is that these were not the way by which to get favor with God. But the grace of God, that favor that we do have with God, when we have it, is going to itself do a work in our life. It's going to teach us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. It's going to teach us to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. It's going to teach us to look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And then the Bible says in Titus 2, and this is the part I really wanted to read. It says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Here it is, zealous of good works. So is God concerned about our passion and our works? Absolutely. But as an outcropping, as a consequence, as a product of the grace-filled life. And Paul's helping the Philippians to understand it's not our entry point, but it's an indication of the fact that we've truly found our sufficiency in Jesus Christ. And so rejoice in that, my friends. Rejoice in the fact that it's not your labor, it's the labor of Christ in you You work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. God bless you, my friends. Have a great day, and we will talk to you next episode.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.